Good morning.
Good morning.
There's also a deacons meeting at noon, okay, so deacons be aware of that. How many of you know that God has a plan for your life? I'm glad you know that. How many have really taken time to ask God and then listen for the plan for your life? You know, that's kind of where we make a mistake, okay? We acknowledge there's a plan, we're happy that there's a plan, but we really, many times, really don't just wake up in the morning and say, God, what's your plan for me, especially just for today? What do you want to come my way? What do you want not to come my way? Because then you know what to rebuke and what to accept. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I want to take just a couple minutes, and don't get uncomfortable with the silence, okay? Just take a minute, and I want you to just listen for the Lord for yourself. I feel impressed to do that. I feel like the Lord is leading that way. That's not what the message is about. But I just feel that right now we should just take a few minutes, lower our heads, close our eyes, tuck yourself away, and just say, hey, God, What do you really want for me? So why don't you do that now, just for a minute. And I want you to be sensitive to the gifts of the Spirit right now. All right. I hope some of you heard the Lord. If you haven't, I want to encourage you. Something like this can be a part of your prayer time, okay? You don't always have to be talking. You can be listening, okay? You don't always have to be, you know, calling out the list. There's times when it's really better, especially when you're going through a hard time, instead of telling God what you need, because he knows already, is just listen to the way he would want to minister to you. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, but I really set myself up good for starting the sermon, you know. But this morning, we're going to be starting a new series, and it's going to be called Fundamental Foundations. And the message for today is entitled The Relevance of the Resurrection. I hope I don't have to say that too many times. The relevance of the resurrection. And the scriptural basis that we are going to use is found in Hebrews 5, verse 12, through chapter 6, verse 2. Now, that's not a lot, so you can go there with me if you'd like. It's time to wake back up from bowing down, by the way. Okay?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Hebrews 5:12. Are you there?
Yes.
If you're not, that's right after Hebrews 4. And just before Hebrews 7. All right, are you ready?
Ready.
All right. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. See, Paul is kind of getting down right now on the people he's writing to. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Chapter 6. Therefore, because of that, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal life. In this scripture, we find a list of six elementary principles, Paul calls it. There are six elementary principles of Christ, okay? The first, and I'm going to do this again, the first is repentance from dead works. Second is faith towards God. Thirdly, we have the doctrine of baptisms. Fourth, the laying on of hands. Fifth, the resurrection from the dead. And sixth, the doctrine of eternal judgment. Okay? Today we're going to focus on number five. Well, Pastor Wes, why are you going to five? That's where I felt like going, okay? Okay? Okay, which is the resurrection from the dead. So let's begin this morning by declaring our Bible declaration together. So if you'd stand with me, please, and just raise your Bible up towards heaven. We want to do this just simply because sometimes the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen. We want to do this simply because it is just always good to hear out loud what your spirit believes. Amen. Because sometimes your flesh, I'm going to end up preaching. Here we go. All right. Are you ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Amen. Let's go. You can be seated. All right. You know, it is a fact, not a fantasy, but it's a fact that one day in the future, you and I, along with all of our family members and our friends and acquaintances, hopefully, are going to have this glorious reunion in heaven. Amen? That's just good news. That's awesome. This amazing truth is foundational to our faith. Because our faith, whether you know it or not, finds itself securely rooted in the firm belief in the resurrection of the dead. Amen? And I'm going to explain that to you. The Bible tells us clearly in 1 Corinthians 15:55, where the Apostle Paul says this, "O death," you always hear this in funerals, but you got to pay attention to it, even if you're not at a funeral, okay? "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" In other words, because of Christ's resurrection and our own future resurrection, the victory and the sting that's being referred to here has been taken out of the Christian's death. And I don't know about you, that makes me happy. Amen? That makes me happy. Please, and what we have to understand really off the get-go is this, that death is without a doubt an enemy. It is. And we know this by reading 1 Corinthians 15:26, which is a few verses earlier, where it says, the last enemy that will be abolished is, say it, death. But because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the promise of our own resurrection, death isn't something that you and I should ever fear. Amen? Come on, we should never fear it. But I know we do. I mean, if you were to be quite honest this morning, you know, we're afraid of the unknown, right? Well, I don't know too many of us here that have experienced death so that it's not an unknown, right? Okay? So it is something that we fear, but we really shouldn't. And it's important that we get the revelation of this biblical truth because understanding this will help you build a strong, fundamental foundation of faith in your life. And that's important, very important. Are you with me? Oh, that scares me. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. This is why the resurrection of the dead was included in the list of elementary principles that's found in Hebrews chapter 6. So what we're going to do is dig a little bit deeper and learn more about this elementary principle, if you will. So let's find out what the word resurrection really means and what it speaks to, okay? Gary, could you please come up here and pray for the message?
Let's pray. Father, am I on? Father, we just thank you for today. God, I pray that you would just prepare us for this new series, God. Prepare us to come every Sunday to hear every part of it. Lord, prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, Lord, to receive it. God, that it may truly change us, Lord. Father, as we work towards the perfection, God, that you have for us. Father, I thank you for Pastor Wes. God, I pray that as he speaks your word, Lord, that he will be, God, he will be refreshed, God. He will be encouraged. Lord, he will be excited. God, we thank you, Lord. We praise you, God. Have your way in each one of us. And just, God, just do what you want to do in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen. Amen. Thank you, Gary. Thank you. You know, I've said this before, but, you know, really, there's a couple of goals or purposes in you coming to church every Sunday. One of them is you show your commitment to God. I'm sorry for those that aren't here, but that's what you do, okay? And you come here to get encouraged by the other people because somebody just might be going through the same thing you are or had gone through it in the past. Another thing that I hope you come for is the fact that there is a possibility, if you allow it to happen, that you can leave differently than you came. And I don't know about you, but I'm all for being a little bit different. Amen? I'm all for being closer to God. You know, I mean, I think my life would be so much simpler, and I think your lives would be so much simpler if you would just live your life a little bit closer to God. So if every Sunday I can, with the help of the Holy Spirit, okay, I can get you that much closer.
Amen.
Amen. Just that much closer. You'll have an ability to deal with life better. How many of you would be better off if you didn't get angry, you just kind of said, oh, Lord, just bless that person. How many of you are able to do that? We got one, okay? We got one. But that's what I think about. That's what I pray. That's what is the concentration, really, of my prayers for you as a people, is that you would just get moved a little bit closer to the Lord. Amen?
Yes.
That you would get a love for the Word of God, and that love for the Word of God would cause you to read the Word of God, and you would just find yourself moving closer and closer and closer, and then compounded by the fact that you come to church on Sunday. Amen? Amen. I did it again. I don't know how I'm going to transition. How many of you knew, okay, I can say that. How many of you knew that at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre that's located in Jerusalem is the tomb where Jesus was buried and the same tomb that he was resurrected from? Over the past 2,000 years, Christians have surrounded that tomb with a great deal of decoration and ornamentation. I mean, I think you know, when you see someone who's been, their lives have been taken beside the road, you see a cross with a whole bunch of flowers around it. Well, this is what people have done for this, for Jesus, or for his tomb, all right, for years and years and years. But behind the ornate and decorated appearance, there's an ancient tomb that's empty. Here I go. It's empty.
Amen.
Glory to God. And it's empty for one reason only. And that's because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Amen?
Yeah.
Our belief in that action, our belief in the resurrection, is truly the bedrock of our faith. It is called the elementary principle and a fundamental foundation. Yet it is a very important principle. and a very important fundamental foundation. You see, what we have to realize is that these principles aren't unimportant. They aren't. And I think we blow right past them. These principles are really important. And so I would encourage you from now on, don't just blow past things because if you look, you know, well, I'm going to set aside those elementary principles and go on. You have to know what they are. Those foundational things is what you build on. Amen? You build on understanding what the resurrection of Jesus Christ was really all about. In fact, if you don't believe in Jesus' resurrection, and if we don't believe in our own future resurrection, the Bible says we really don't have anything to base our faith on. In 1 Corinthians 15:14, it says this, and if Christ is not risen, Paul says this, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. I'm glad this morning I don't have an empty faith. Amen? So I guess, what does the Bible teach us about the resurrection from the dead? What does it teach us? The word translated as resurrection that's used throughout the New Testament is a compound Greek word anastasis, okay? Not Anastasia, all right? But anastasis. The first word ana, A-N-A, means to repeat something or to do something over again. And the second word is stasis, that simply means to stand, okay? When you put the two words together, the meaning is something like this, to stand again, all right? Or to stand upright, or to be raised from the dead. That's the meaning of the word resurrection as Jesus used it in John 11:25 when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. That's another funeral psalm or funeral verse that we hear all the time, all right? But he said, I am the resurrection and the life. See, if you remember, this is where Jesus and Mary, or where Jesus said to Mary, I'm sorry, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, what? Yet shall he live. Yet shall he live. And in this particular case, Jesus was speaking about a physical resurrection, okay? But we need to understand something here. That Jesus' resurrection power isn't just limited to the physical realm. Because I think we see that and we think, yeah, raised from the dead, that's going to be good. But Jesus is anastasis, okay? Jesus, he is the one who makes you stand again. He is the one who makes you stand upright. And he's the one who raises you from the dead, amen? What am I saying? That meaning of the word includes, if you have been knocked down by life, how many of you have been knocked down by life today? How many of you know what that's like? That means that if you have been knocked down by life, if your emotions have been crushed, and we all know what that feels like, if your finances have been negatively impacted, if you are down in any area of your life, the resurrection power, glory to God, the resurrection power of Jesus can cause you to stand up again in every area of your life. Hallelujah. If you have been knocked flat, there isn't any hope. Even if you're dead, Jesus is saying, I am the power to put you on your feet again. I am the power who causes people to stand up again. I am the power who will raise you back to life and bring life back to every area of your life. That's me. I am the resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just going to say that again, okay? If you've been knocked down by life, if your emotions have been crushed, if your finances have been negatively impacted, if you're down in any area of your life, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ can cause you to stand up in those areas again. This is so bad, I can't get up. Yes, you can. Oh, this situation, it's taking the best of me. I'll never recover. Yes, you can. If you're a Christian, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the resurrection power of Jesus will put you back on your feet again. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's really glorious news to know that Jesus will one day raise you from the dead. You know that. But it's also great news, and you need to embrace the fact that Jesus is your resurrection right now. right now. He is the power. It's sufficient to raise you up and stand strong in the midst of every battle in your life right now. Say right now.
Right now.
We don't have to wait to die to experience the resurrection power of Jesus. We can experience it what? Right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, just that one elementary principle, just that one, you know, foundation, if you will, is enough to get you excited about all of the life that lays ahead of you. Because sometimes we look ahead and we think of all the terrible things that are going to happen to us. And if you're stuck in that rut, understand something. If those terrible things do happen to you, but they probably won't, and somebody needs to hear that today, but if those things do happen to you and you do get knocked down, Jesus, your Jesus, the one who lives inside of you, will work to pick you up again. Glory to God. I just want you to understand that. That's exciting. It's exciting. The resurrection, that thing we talk about on Easter, we can have it every day. Every day. Why is that exciting? Because we have been given a sure guarantee as well. All right? The Apostle Paul talked about this guarantee in First Corinthians 15:20. Let me read that to you. But now Christ is risen from the dead. That's glorious. But now Christ has risen from the dead and has become, what? The first. If he's the first, what's that mean? There's more. He has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Paul was stating that Jesus' resurrection from the dead is our guarantee that we too will be raised from the dead. Christ was the first fruits. In other words, okay, his resurrection is a promise to us that there will be another harvest of resurrections that will follow after. Oh, you should be excited about that. You know, death is an unknown, and we shouldn't fear it, but we do. But you know what? Once that is done, and I don't know if it takes a second or if it takes what feels like an eternity, but when it is done, there's resurrection. Amen? Amen. 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 When you study the Old Testament, you find three concrete examples of resurrection of people who were raised from the dead, all right? There was a little boy in 1 Kings chapter 17 that was raised by Elijah. He was dead. In 2 Kings chapter 4, another child was raised by Elisha. And in 2 Kings chapter 13, the man who fell on a dead man's bones was raised to life again, okay? And there are actually many more than just three raised in the Old Testament, because in Hebrews 11:15, it says this, that there were many women who received their dead back to life again. Many. Many. And then in the earthly ministry of Jesus, three people are recorded as being raised from the dead. In Luke 7, Jesus raised a woman's son back to life. Can you imagine? Can you imagine you're walking out of town with your kid and he's dead and Jesus raises him back to life? And in Luke chapter 8, Jesus raised Jairus' daughter back to life. And in John 11, Jesus raised his friend Lazarus back to life. And again, there were actually more than that during the time that Jesus was still on earth, because Matthew 27:52 says that when Jesus yielded up his spirit on the cross, the earth quaked, and it says this, and the graves were opened, glory to God, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were what? Raised. They were resurrected. The power of Jesus, just the very power of Jesus when he was resurrected, glory to God, it resurrected more people than just him. Then in the book of Acts, if we count the Apostle Paul himself after he was stoned in Lystra, we again find three concrete examples of people who were raised from the dead in the days of the early church. In Acts 9, there was this woman named Dorcas who was raised. I always got to laugh. There was a pastor I knew that came across this verse. And he said, Dorcas, who would be named Dorcas? There was Dorcas sitting in his church. I knew her for 10 years. You can guess who that was because I'm not going to tell you, but needless to say, she didn't stay. But there was, in Acts chapter 9, a woman named Dorcas, great name. And in Acts 14, we see the example of Paul when he was stoned and left for dead, who was raised up. And in Acts 20, where by the resurrection power of Jesus, Paul raised a young man who fell out of a window when he was preaching. I mean, I see some of you guys fall asleep, and I think, oh, praise God, we aren't up high, you know? But just think about it for a minute, okay? Yeah, I really do see you guys. Okay. But just think about it for a minute. All these people who were raised from the dead under the old and new covenants both, they eventually, what? They died again. They died again. And their resurrections were only temporary. Amen? They were raised and they lived a normal life, but eventually all of them had to die again. There is only one. Glory be to God. There is only one resurrection from the dead where the person who died did not die again, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. If there had ever been a resurrection, or excuse me, if there had never been a resurrection of Christ from the dead, Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross never could have or would have brought the Spirit of God to you and me. Let that sink in. That's how the Spirit of God got to you and me. But Hebrews 2:9 tells us that Christ was raised from the dead, having tasted death for all men and women. He seized the keys of hell and the grave, as we see in Revelation 1:18. And he conquered death and for all, as we see in Romans 6:10 and 2 Timothy 1:10. And Christ never, say never, he never experienced death again, nor will he ever experience death again. He experienced death once for everybody. One time. He did a complete job of it, okay? Once, one time. And then he is forever, glory to God, he is forever seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I. What does that mean? He's praying for you and I. He isn't praying, get him, God. He's praying, help him, God. Help him, Father. They're having a hard time. Help him. Lift him up, God. He's interceding for us. That's not a negative thing. That's a very positive thing for you and I. I mean, this is such an amazing foundational truth. And you and I, we need to fully get a hold of this. Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead is the guarantee that we too will be raised from the dead. That's awesome. In 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, the Apostle Paul stated this foundational principle that we're learning about today with perfect clarity, okay? And he said this, For I and you're going to recognize this because you're going to hear it again today when we take communion. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Maybe you've heard that the cross of Calvary is the cornerstone to our faith, okay? And that has its merit. It truly does. But thousands and thousands of people have been crucified over the years. It wasn't just Jesus. They didn't just make that up for him, okay? It was a cruel, terrible way to die. And so they used it on him as well as every other criminal that went through any kind of Roman, you know, court system. Yet only one of all those that have been crucified, only one was raised from the dead, and he has become the chief cornerstone. You have to understand, if Jesus had died, but there had been no resurrection, you and I would not, nor could we, have a living faith. It's his resurrection that is truly the cornerstone of our faith. And it's a shame that we only look at it on Easter. That's glorious. That's awesome. But resurrection power works in you and I every day of the week. Amen? Every minute of the week. And it's important to realize the reality of this event. Because Jesus' resurrection was affirmed when he appeared 10 different times to different individuals and different groups of people. Okay? Nobody was faking this. This happened too many times to just not think about it, okay? He appeared to Mary Magdalene in Mark 16 and John 20. And he appeared to other women, just read Matthew 28 and Luke 23 and 24. He appeared to Peter in Luke 24 and in 1 Corinthians 15. And he appeared to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, as we read in Luke chapter 24. He appeared to 10 of the disciples all at once in chapter 20 of the Gospel of John. And he appeared to all 11 disciples 8 days later in Matthew 28 and John 20. He appeared to 7 disciples at the Sea of Tiberias in the Gospel of John, chapter 21. And on one occasion, Jesus appeared to 500 people at once. 500 people at once in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. They all saw him after he was resurrected. In other words, after he was dead and after he was buried. They all saw him. Glory be to God. They didn't see his spirit. Come on. They saw his body. Amen? They saw his body. He also appeared to James, the Lord's brother, in 1 Corinthians 15, 7. And finally, at the moment of his ascension, he appeared to the 11 apostles again in Acts 1, 6 through 11. And this is most likely not the full list. Because in Acts 1, 3, Luke wrote this, he showed himself to be alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. The word them is plural, okay? It's plural. So it's talking about multiple appearances to a vast number of people, and it was proof to everybody and to you and I that Jesus indeed rose from the dead. If Jesus had died, but there had been no resurrection, I'm going to say it again, we would not have a living faith. We would have what the Bible calls a dead faith. That's what Paul called it, all right? I'm glad we got a living faith. Amen? A living faith. Glory to God. I mean, praise God for the elementary principle of the resurrection from the dead. Amen? And I could go on and talk about the different resurrections, okay, that the Bible mentions. And maybe I will, but for now, I just want to ask you a question, okay? And why don't you bow your heads, okay? And the question I want to ask you is, now that you know, because I've proven it to you out of the Bible, now that you know that the resurrection power of Jesus Christ can work in you every single day, every single hour, every single minute, every single second, now that you know that, does it change anything on the inside of you? Think about it. Think about it. That resurrection power that when it was first displayed, the morning he was risen from the dead, that first time, so much power was radiated from that many of the saints were raised from the dead. The saints, those that were saved. Praise God for the elementary principle of the resurrection. I just want you to think about it a minute. And you can say this to yourself, or you can say, in fact, I want you to say it out loud. Are you ready? I have.
I
want everybody to say this. I have.
I have.
The resurrection power.
The resurrection power.
Of Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Living in me.
Living in me.
And it can be reached.
It can be reached.
Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Absolutely right now.
Absolutely right now.
That's good news. But notice I said it can be reached, because it's a choice that we have to make. The power of Jesus living inside of us is something that can live in there dormant all your life. And you can go to heaven, I'm sure, but that power can lay dormant inside of you all your life. How many of you are ready right now to just reach out and say, God, I want that resurrection power that lives in me, not that might live in me, but not that will live in me, but that lives in me. I want it to come alive now. Raise your hand if that's you. You want the resurrection power of Jesus to be reached by you in your life. All right. Father, I pray, God, that you would just touch each one that raised their hands. Just touch each one. And God, show them the revelation of the resurrection and the power that it brings into their life. Jesus did not leave us comfortless. He sent us the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. And we will be forever grateful for that. But we're grateful this morning for the resurrection as well. We're grateful this morning that power that you displayed on resurrection morning didn't just go out and disappear that day. And isn't just going to be revisited on us when we die. But God, it is available for us right now. Right now. And I pray there would be a change in the lives of the people that hear this message, because they realize that within their reach, if they reach for it, is available the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus. If you've been knocked down, you can stand up again. If you've been, if your finances have been ravaged, you can stand up again. If you've been having trouble with your wife and there's no more love, or your husband and the love is gone, God can resurrect that. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. There's no limit to what God can resurrect in your life. Amen. And I pray that for you right now. And I ask, Lord, that you would just make a difference in each person's life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.